Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of this book. Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask that you would speak to us now in the truth of your word and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and feed and nourish our souls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin reading at verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, and I see that I was going with the rhyme 7-11 in the verses, but technically we're going to be looking at verses 8-11, so anyway, that's our text. But we'll begin reading at verse 4 for context. So verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. Hear now the word of our God. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, continuing our series through 1 Corinthians 13, we see here a call that my mother so often has given to me, and I don't think she has stopped. Grow up. And certainly we see that here. We need to be mature. And if you remember back to when we started this mini-series at the beginning of the month, we saw that the Corinthian church thought that what was really important in the Christian life was having these great spiritual gifts that they had. They did have them. It wasn't that they were wanting them. They actually did have these spiritual gifts. But Paul started by correcting them in verses 1 through 3 and is now doing that again in this regard. In verse 8, Paul says, love never fails. The Greek word for fails that is used here is a different word than what is used later of prophecies. And the word that Paul uses here for fails means to be blown off course, to change from good to bad, or to become useless. Paul is here saying true love never is blown off course and directed away to someone or something else that it shouldn't. Love never sours. Love never is useless to the life of anyone. You can see how different this definition of love that Paul gives here is than the definition that the world has for love. But we, of course, see this true love in the Lord Jesus Christ so clearly. Jesus never failed to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he never failed to love his neighbor as himself. And certainly as we look at our own lives, we can say, the Lord Jesus has never failed to love us. We can see this throughout Jesus' whole earthly life and pilgrimage very clearly too, can't we? We see it in Luke's account of Jesus in his youth in Jerusalem throughout his whole life, and then especially at the cross. Jesus always loved the Father and the Holy Spirit first, and then us, his people. The way that it is supposed to be. He never sought to love himself first. He never sought to love the things of this world, even for a moment. His love was always directed at the same divine persons and his people. And thus, as we look at his love for us, it is, of course, never useless. But it always fills us, satisfies us, encourages us, and strengthens us. For as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Now notice in verse 18 that Paul, in describing the greatness of the love of Christ, says that he is prayerful that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of the love that is given to us in Christ. Sinclair Ferguson comments on this verse, and it got my brain percolating on it, and so I'll use some of his thoughts, but I'll go in a slightly different direction. But you notice that love is described in those four dimensions. And first, in its width, its expanse. To what areas of my life does Christ love me? That's how we measure the greatness of love, don't we? We measure it in one part by how far, in what areas of my life does this person love me? Do they love me just at work, or at home, or when things are going well, or also when things are going bad? You get the point, I'm sure, but of course, Jesus loves us in all areas of life, no matter what it is. So of course, Paul is going to say, who can comprehend the width of Jesus' love for us? There's not an area of your life that you can separate from the love of Christ. Then we come to the second dimension of love. It's length. The greatness of love is determined by the length of time that it continues for. That's why, of course, we think more highly of a 60th wedding anniversary than we do a 10th wedding anniversary. Because of the greatness of the love that is shown over that length of time. Our God loved us before time existed and will love us into eternity. That is the length of Jesus' love for us. Who can comprehend it? The third dimension of love is depth. To what depths would love go for someone? It's said of my great-grandpa Rosma, when my great-grandma was dying, that he knelt by her bedside and said to her, "If crawling on my hands and knees from Linden to New York would make you better, I would do it." Knowing the stories of my great-grandpa, he meant that. And that's great love. But it's nothing like the depth of Christ's love for us. For the depth of our Lord Jesus is deep enough to go down to the depths of death and hell in order to save us from our sins. Truly, who can comprehend the depth of Christ's love for us? And then fourthly and lastly, the height. This is describing the exalting of others that results because of no other reason than love. When you love someone, you want to exalt them. You want to lift them up. You want to encourage them and strengthen them. Well, how high is the love of Christ that lifts us from death to life? From foes to family? From guilty to glory? Truly, who can comprehend the height of Christ's love for us? And after reflecting on this, certainly we would conclude that God's love for us never fails. It is perfect. It is infinite. And it is beautiful to behold. But as Paul says in our passage, the gifts, they will fail, cease, and end. Think of prophecies, for example, in Acts chapter 11, verse 28, we read of a prophecy that was given by Agabus, reading there, "Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also appeared in the days of Claudius Caesar." We're told in that passage that Agabus had a real prophecy from the Lord that was given as a warning to his people, and that it did happen. But you can kind of see where, yes, we see in that passage that there is a purpose for the gift of prophecy. It was useful in its time. But Paul here in our passage is telling the Corinthians, and he's also telling us that there's a time when prophecy is no longer necessary, nor is it any longer helpful. We live in such a time, if you didn't guess that. But we are told about this prophecy in Acts to show how the Holy Spirit was moving around upon God's people at this time. But we see that there is a time when the gift will stop, when it's no longer necessary or useful. Even as I preach to you now, there will be a day when preachers will no longer be necessary. The gift of preaching will not be needed anymore when Christ comes again. But what continues? Love. Love continues. The gifts of tongues will stop. Indeed they have. Whether there's special knowledge like Paul had when he was whisked away to the third heaven in visions, that too will vanish away. But as these spiritual gifts cease, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, don't worry about that. Those things aren't really that important. For you have the love of Christ, which is far better. And all of those gifts were only given to show the love of Christ anyway. Moving on to verse 11, we read there, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." You don't remember many of the things your parents have done for you in your life. Especially as an infant, you don't remember any of them. You don't remember much of even what your spouse has done for you. Don't even always remember all the things that your children do for you. You also don't remember what your pastor preaches to you. If I asked you what a month ago's sermons were about, I bet we'd all be clueless. But you do remember their love. We may not remember many of the Bible passages that we read. There's many passages that we have not committed to memory. Many times we read over a passage and it may not ever seemingly stick into our heads. And sometimes as we do our daily devotions, we wonder what was the point of reading that. But it's still good for us to read it because every passage of Scripture communicates something of God's love for us, even if nothing else that we get out of our Scripture reading for that day than that God, the God of all the universe, wants to speak with us. What Paul wants us to understand is that it isn't about the giftedness that we have or the giftedness of others. It isn't about the good works that we do, giving a cup of cold water, giving someone bread to eat, or visiting someone in prison isn't really anything. When Jesus mentions those things, he doesn't mean for us to understand that that's all we're supposed to do as Christians or something. But rather that we are to love, and those are simple ways of showing that love. For love is greater than all the spiritual gifts and great outward deeds that we do. For if we have not love, how does Paul start the chapter? We are nothing. Paul is here calling us again, please do not focus on the gifts. Focus on the love. We all fall into that trap, don't we? And that trap is born out of a heart of selfishness, if we're honest, isn't it? We are naturally gravitated, we're pulled towards, and we adore people that have great gifts because they can serve us. They can please us. And Paul is here reminding us, don't be so childish. Small children, for the most part, can't help it, but when they receive presents, they don't think about so much about the love with which that present was given, but just in the present itself. Right? We as adults were all children once, and we can remember receiving a gift that we so desperately wanted, and we receive it, and our joy and excitement is over the thing, not over the love with which it was given. And Paul is here reminding us, grow up. Grow up in your faith in the Lord Jesus as well. Do we follow Christ simply because we like the blessings that He gives, or do we love Him? That is a real question we have to ask ourselves. Do we love Jesus simply because we like the idea of Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I don't have any guilt anymore, I get to go to heaven, I don't have to go to hell, I'm going to be crowned and be in the presence of God. I like all of these blessings. That's great. I'm on that program. Wonderful. Get me a ticket. I'll board that train. Is that the motivation of our heart for why we follow Jesus? Is that why we're awed and in wonder of Him? Or is it His love for us? Is that what grips us? Is that what satisfies our souls? That all the gifts that He gives to us are beautiful and wonderful, not because of the gifts themselves, but because of the love with which He has loved us. Listen carefully to what I am about to say, because it's probably going to sound wrong to your ears at first, but then you'll see what I mean. God does not want us to focus on Him providing up for us in all of life. God doesn't want us focusing on Him blessing us with good gifts all of the time. God doesn't want us to focus on the warm houses, the vehicles we drive, the jobs we have, the families we have, the friends we have, the church family we have. God doesn't even want us focusing on Him saving people from their sins, freeing them from the tyranny of the devil, and giving them peace with Himself. God wants us to focus on Him and for us to see in all of those things the great love that He has for us. Whether we're thinking of the food in our fridge to the forgiveness of our sins, He wants us to see His love for us. The gift of Jesus dying on the cross would be of no value to us whatsoever if He did not go to that cross loving us. If Jesus went to the cross and did not, in redeeming love, go there, that death would have been pointless. It would have been of no value. But love never fails. Love never fails. Didn't think you'd find Calvinism in this chapter, did you? Whomever God the Father has chosen in electing love, and Christ died for in redeeming love, and the Holy Spirit entered into in resurrection power and life-giving love, you cannot be lost. Because love cannot fail. And this is what our God has always wanted us to reflect on. That in all the doctrines of the faith that are given to us in God's Word, we must never lose sight that all of these beautiful truths show us God's love for us, and show us that He is love itself. And truly, as we reflect upon who our God is, and what He has done for us in Christ, we would have to conclude what God has already told us. Love never fails. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess to You that even at this time of year in which we remember the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, we so often think about the truths of Christ's coming, and we forget the love that You, our Heavenly Father, have for us in sending Jesus. We forget the love that our Lord Jesus has for us in coming and dying in our place. And we forget the love that the Holy Spirit has for us in applying all the benefits of Christ to us, personally, in divine love. And so we ask, O Lord, that You would fill us and remind us with these glorious truths, and that every day of our lives, we would see a little bit more of the width, the length, and the depth, and the height of the great love that You, our triune God, have for us. We pray this, Heavenly Father, that we would be built up in order that we may glorify You more and more and grow in our love for You every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.